Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
And gentlemen, let's get ready to be inspired! Introducing in the red corner, American Tennis! And introducing in the blue corner, your host for American Tennis, Mr. Chuck Creasy! Ladies and gentlemen, time to get in the game.
Good morning to each and every one of you out there that loves tennis and loves everything that it has given to us. Every day of our lives that we have been a participant in it. It's quite ridiculous when you think about our sport, how you can play the sport of tennis, you travel the country, travel the world. And if you're a youngster, you've probably been to 10 to 20, all of the states, just because you can hit a fuzzy ball over the net. As adults, we look back on our lives, and we are blessed beyond belief that we have gotten so much from the game. And if we honor it, it has continued to honor us, and it will honor us. But if we try to take from it and use it for our own stuff, what we can get from it, I'll tell you, I tell players all the time that if you don't honor it, the tennis gods will cut you to bits, and it leaves you high and dry. So let's honor it, folks. Let's always honor it. And I wanted to tell you that American Tennis comes to you every Wednesday at noon, as most of you know, if you're listening to the show, and thanks for the audience, the loyal audience that we've had over the past 3 years. And it's now pretty much a mission that I need to do this show and try to have a voice out there and talking about the things that are going on in tennis. I want to get to the place where we can start talking about instruction again, and talking about things like momentum control and how to develop a player from A to Z and those type of things. But politics continues to pile up on the other agendas, and we have to, therefore, continue to battle on. And again, it's about honoring the game of tennis. I know that most of you are aware that in Colette Lewis's Zoo Tennis yesterday, Bobby Bayless, man who we all respect for his years of service at Naval Academy, then at MIT, and then at Notre Dame, and all the young men that he has groomed and mentored, we thank him for his service. He came out in favor of no-ad scoring, and we knew this, but you know, he's been on the ITA operating committee for years, and it's part of that agenda that is pushing for the narrative that tennis will die, college tennis will die, and therefore tennis will die if we don't switch to this hookaboo show that they are trying to push forward, the ITA. And we've got to meet this head on right now, folks. This is in big battle time, and we're almost at Civil War proportion. And it's not even split down the middle. I wish I could say it's split down the middle. Sort of on the one side, the men's D1 coaches, it is about 50-50. Women's coaches, about 80-20 for regular scoring against NOAD. Again, the men's side, it's been heavily for traditional scoring, but the ITA keeps pushing forward their narratives, and it's quite sad that so many coaches feel that the ITA has a bully pulpit that they can just sort of push everybody around and get them to do those things. I'm leading in with this today because this is a hot topic. We expect some callers to call in, but I did want to tell Bobby thank you for your work and thank you for all you do. But please, one thing that you put out there, NOAD is better than no tennis. I don't know. Is the bastardization of our sport, folks, better than no tennis? Do we just want our sport dumbed down like that? All of you know where I stand, and I'm trying to do everything I can, and I would ask all of you to get out and stand up and speak out. Every week on American Tennis, we ask people to stand up and speak out and say those things that are your opinion, feelings, and needs. Get off the surface stuff of just cliches and facts, just cliches this and cliches that, and sort of walking lockstep into whatever the ITA or these managing bodies, what do they call themselves? They say they're governing bodies. That's a, you know what? Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God, Thomas Jefferson said. And as St. Augustine said, an unjust law is no law at all. When you have tennis tyranny going on with this group, they call themselves the ITA, it's a coaches organization. You have to pay $500 to belong. They give you a scorebook and say, hey, guess what? You could be one of our ranked teams if you qualify, be top 75. And told a coach recently, if we're making top 25, then it'll be something that's notable. Don't say we're ranked and, you're 58, 72, or this or that. Get excited, folks, when you get up in the top 25 or top 30. So, anyhow, we got a lot to do today on American Tennis. I wanted to tell you that our call-in number is 714-583-6853, 714-583-6853. I'm Chuck Creasy. This is American Tennis on the UR Tennis Network. The UR Tennis Network comes to you with four different shows each week. Lisa Stone's show continues to do quite well on Tuesdays at noon. I think it's 11 to 12. J.P. Weber's We Coach Tennis on the Yellow Ball Network. It's pretty interesting. If you follow We Coach Tennis Facebook and the website that he has, nearly, I think it's 1,700 coaches right now on that Facebook. So We Coach Tennis is becoming more and more popular. Hats off to J.P. Weber and his We Coach Tennis show. Comes to you every week on Tuesday at noon. On the UR Tennis Network, of course, Lisa Stone, my program, American Tennis, and then Jason Haynes has American College Connection 2 hours from right now at 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Wednesdays on UR Tennis Network. The mission is to stand up and speak out. Edmund Burke says that all that it takes for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing. There was a book out by, wasn't Hal Thomas is a darn good writer, but it was Bennett. What was his first name? the death of outrage back in the 90s. William Bennett. William Bennett, he also wrote the Book of Virtues in the late 90s that young people should read. The Book of Virtues. And what a fantastic book. But before that, he wrote a book called The Death of Outrage. And when we have a death of outrage against tyranny and against those things that are just plain wrong, we have a tough time coming back. And Big Brother becomes a smother to all of us and our thoughts and our wishes and our hopes and our dreams. And anytime you just hope that a group that is in charge sort of makes these learned decisions, and you know, without even questioning them, then we have problems. Man, you know, I guess you all can guess that I grew up during the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and of course, during the late 60s and 70s, we had a lot going on in our country, didn't we? A lot of outrage about things, whether it was the Vietnam War or different things. So we were taught to stand up and speak out, and I'm scared to death about you guys out there, the millennials, you know, and that you just sort of laissez-faire, you just sort of do what's going on and sort of just trust those people in charge, and don't do that. Not that you shouldn't trust authorities and understand the chain of command, but don't just go along blindly. We need to talk about what's going on here in America with tennis. We are really a civil war away. All we need is a Fort Sumter something to ignite this thing, and it's going to take off into a civil war, unfortunately. And it's been primed by the 10 and under program. It's been primed by just the USTA, I want to say, over control, top-down management. Love you guys out there, USTA. I know you listen to my show sometimes, and thank you for doing so. But come on, guys. Freedom is what we all need. You know, take off the handcuffs off of American ingenuity and all these wonderful coaches. Where would we be without innovation and freedom to do certain things? My golly, it's not about systems, it's about incentives, and it's about allowing people to come up with their own creations and then giving them the credit for the creations. I think about Mike Kernodle all the time and how he uses a wonderful example of the Fosbury flop. Where would we be if we told everybody they have to go over that bar forwards? You know, Skip Fosbury figured out he could go over backwards and change the world. Where would we be if Borg had not become a world champion with two hands? Where would we be if, you know, with the movement, that the movement and the recovery steps that Roger Federer and these guys have found a solution to the ball striking being too fast for movement on the court? We have symmetry back in our game. It's once again a beautiful game. If you can get your movement, your recovery, your shot selection right, there's still a chance for symmetry, but it's twice as fast as it used to be. But where would we be without these innovators like what Vic Braden did and all of the creative things? Where would we be without Dennis Vandermeer, who basically stood up to the USPTA and said, "Hey guys, no way, Jose, we do not want to do it your way." And he created PTR, and the PTR now is a big organization that I like. PTR, because they pretty much are they promote freedom and they promote you know, innovation, and I'm sure there's things they have to do that fall in line with top-down management, but by golly, I love that organization because it was created by a novel thinking, a person who's creative, a person who's an innovator, an entrepreneur, and we need the entrepreneurs. So with that being said, that's pretty much what I wanted to talk about here on the program today. We're going to have some coaches call in and talk about the unjust law that is really no law at all. And this past week, on the 10th of February, note the 10th of February, for the second time the NCAA cabinet has told the ITA, no, you can't go forward with your agenda. The NCAA tournament will be done with the traditional format. And let me read real quick, and then I'll go to commercial here, but let me read just the statistics. Look at Colette Lewis on February 10th, 2015 on her Zoo Tennis. And he said the NCAA Division I Sports Management Cabinet took no action on the tennis scoring format requested by the that has been requested and will refer the issues appropriate championship to governments. For clarification, the scoring format utilized for the 2014 Men's and Women's Championship team and individual will once be done 2015. Now that should be sort of a deal for the ITA to just go, okay, coaches have spoken, players have spoken, but no. They came back the next day and said, well, hey guys, for dual matches, interconference, you got to still use our Bullwinkle system. The system where NOAD and this hokey pokey show of pulling kids off when the match is settled, 2 hours and 5 minutes. Georgia Tech versus Georgia. That was J.P. Weber said it was heating up to be a pretty good match, and a lot of kids still on the court, and they just pulled them off. As you can see, Colette says no reason was given for the decision, but I will add that I received information regarding the survey conducted by the NCAA committee, which show at NOAD to be so unpopular with women's coaches, both men's and women's, and both men and women's student athletes. Although I received the draft of this, he says, I've got the charts, and here was the charts. Let's go through this real quick, and then this will set the table for, once again, what we're going to talk about. Male student athletes, 71.7% say no go with no ad. Female student athletes, 88.2% say they want to play regular scoring, no go for no ad. Women's head coaches, 72.7% no go. About 50-50 with the men, and that's good reason. They've been jamming it down men's throats now and for about the last 2 to 3 years. And the bullying, the arrogance is unbelievable how they continue to say, we're smart, you guys aren't. Hey, you're holding back the progress of tennis because you want traditional scoring. And so on and so forth. With the scare tactics that, college tennis is going to be dropped. College tennis is going to be dropped because of the five power conferences and the initiatives that are going on and in other sports. College tennis is low on the totem pole. And you know why it's low on the totem pole, folks, don't you? It's low on the totem pole because of very, very bad management of the issues over the last 20 to 25 years. It's not because of regular scoring, traditional scoring system. It's because we haven't addressed those issues. The issues of the depleted, deleted, and incompleted matches we should be having. They cut everybody back to 25. The shortened practice sessions, you get 20 hours a week practice, 25 matches, and where was the ITA? They weren't around to stick up. Where were they to stick up for the men's side of things when they cut scholarships from 8 to 4.5? And where were they with all of the issues of the international students, 65% now taking up, 65% I believe is the number. I have to get that exact number for you folks, but it's somewhere up there. I've got it. I've had it put together for me to show, and it's about 65% of the spots taking up by international student. Nobody has anything against the international students. Not one doggone thing. And everybody agrees that the international students bring a lot to the table, but by golly, they shouldn't take up 65% of all our scholarship money. And It's really easy to drop teams when they're completely international and parents aren't going to complain to ADs. That's the real deal. Where is our ITA leadership? We need leadership. And the guy in there is about ready to leave. And they said that he is trying to handpick his successor. And he better be, those leaders in that organization be very, very smart. Or you will have a civil war, guys. You will. You need to include the entire membership and make sure that everybody has a voice in who that next leader is. We need a good one. We need somebody to take on the real issues and not just set up a bureaucracy, or bureaucracy made of one level of coaches who basically are sort of, I'm okay, and I know what's going on, and we're going to make the decisions for everybody else. Not good. Not good. So, Colette's, the statistics from the NCAA format study was 71.7 men, 88% of the women don't want it, 72% of the women's coach, and again, about 50-50, it's about 50-50 of the men, and if they got a good showing there. And then the doubles, 88. Here's who wants to keep with an eight-game pro set instead of that silly, silly six-game set that lasts about 15 minutes and nobody's what's going on. If it's no ad, it can be over in 15 minutes or less, and it's hardly any show of any skill set. Pathetic. Pathetic disrespect for our wonderful game. Males, athletes, 82% want to keep the doubles away at A-game pro set, 86% of the women. 66%, two-thirds of all the men want to keep it. 85% of the women want to keep it. And so, awful what these guys have done. Just awful. And if you don't think so, please call in. We need differing voices as well to be heard. And that's just the point. This is United States of America. Does everybody remember that the United States of America, we have the freedom of speech? Do you remember? We ask you on American Tennis every week to address issues, not people. Stay professional. We can address these organizations, these bureaucracies that really have wonderful, wonderful people working. Now, wonderful people can do unwonderful things sometimes. We all are in that category, aren't we? I like to think of everybody being a wonderful human being, maybe doing a wrong thing. And that's the way we need to look at it, and we need to talk that way when we discuss these issues. It needs to be on the table. We need to be talking about it. We need to bring up our ideas and to state them. And this is the place to state them. This is the forum to state them. And this is American Tennis, and I'll be right back after this commercial.
J.P. Weber of the We Coach Tennis Radio Show. In my 30 years experience in coaching tennis, I've never seen a better tennis training situation for children than Coach Creasy's Total Tennis Training Camps. Chuck Creasy has coached them and trained them in every arena from juniors to collegiate to professional tennis, and over 15,000 children have improved their games at his summer tennis camps. Find out more at ChuckCreasy.net. That's ChuckCreasy.net.
Red. America.
Making them in America. We need to continue to make them in America, but we need freedom. Freedom, remember, you have, hey, look up Norman Rockwell's Four Freedoms on the internet, folks. Look at the picture, the freedom of speech. It's fantastic. The freedom to worship, freedom from want, and I think freedom from hunger, and the freedom from, I forget the fourth, where the mom and the dad are putting the kid to bed there. You know, freedom from tyranny, freedom, safety, you know, the freedom from worry, freedom, well, we don't have freedom from worry, but the freedom from want is the one that, mother is serving the Thanksgiving dinner. But remember, this United States of America, we need to make them in America, and we need freedom to do that. I don't care how good a bureaucracy. I don't care if the ITA is the best thing since sliced bread. And let me tell you, I'm going to go here and read. Please consider these things and how the ITA has bullied their way through on this stuff. An unjust law is no law at all, St. Augustine says. In 2012, 10,000 signatures were expressed in on change.org against a 2012 directive by ITA, and I believe it was a tournament situation at the NCAA tournament, but they started to talk about changing the format, 10,000 signatures, and of course that was sort of overbearing, so they went back and sort of morphed into a different situation. And then 2013, it was the mainstay or the main topic of, which is, has been, this is a tragic thing, it's been the main topic for 20 years. What's wrong with these guys? No wonder we don't solve anything. Quit trying to change tennis. We got a greatest game in the whole world. Quit trying to screw it up, guys. December 2013, I went down. I drove 9 hours down to the ITA convention. It'd be the last one I ever attend. What a waste of time. And we got down there and battled for 5 hours and came away with 21-19 vote. It's the famous 21-19 vote. After 5 hours of discussion, coaches agreed to stay with regular scoring and just change the format around a little bit. And that night, the ITA got together behind the closed doors and said, listen, this isn't really a mandate, 21-19. Have they ever had a mandate? No, they never even have had, get the votes except their own committee. They get the votes on their own committee. And everybody thinks that this deck is stacked before they even do anything. This is a hand-picked committee. Prove me wrong, ITA. Call in. Call in, ITA. Tell me if it's not a stacked committee already. You know that the guy picks who he wants around him, and pretty much the deck is loaded before it even goes out. Should I bring up the vote of 51-2 in 2004, 2005 down in Athens, Georgia? 251 coaches, male coaches, voted to keep the men's and the women's tournament separate. 51-2. They did it anyway, much to their lack of planning, thinking, or whatever. In 2012, the 10,000 votes came out after the initiative to change, to abbreviate the scoring. Well, it was because we had 32 teams there. With 32 teams, 16 men, 16 women, then it rains. Are you kidding me? Had nothing to do with scoring format. After that 21-19 vote, they did what they wanted to anyway. They sort of force-fed that last winter. A lot of coaches lost matches they shouldn't have. Teams lost matches they shouldn't have. The ITA's own poll in 2014 spring showed 81% of the college tennis players did not want no add singles. 85% didn't want the doubles to change, but they proceeded. We even had an independent poll run by one of the top college players. He got 1,347 signatures to oppose the change to no add. Petition was sent out by the great well-respected Coach Lynn Loring of Indiana University last summer. 194 coaches on the women's side responded and said, look, guys, ITA, all we want is a two-thirds majority. If you guys are going to go ahead and try to push things through, let's have a two-thirds majority. And I think I could live with that. Do you hear me, ITA? I could live with that. I could live with that. I'd hate it and doing no ad. I'd have to decide if I really could coach in such a world where I had to do before, and I saw the demise of so many players. We're going to get into that in a few minutes here and why it's such a bad system. There's so much more depth to our sport than people ever see or give it credit for on the surface. MDTA, Men's Division I Tennis Association, poll was taken in 2014. Vote was 67-11 in favor of keeping regular scoring. Of course, the ITA didn't acknowledge that. Men's Division I Tennis Association is sort of the tea party of college tennis, and it's made up of individuals who don't like being dictated to and believe that this United States of America, and it should not be top-down management. Remember, ITA, your job is to serve coaches and players first. That's it. You're a coach's organization. That's what you are. You formed yourself into a union now that you got to pay $500 to be part of. To you non-union members out there, I take your hats off to you. I'm one of them. I'm going to stay one of them. And don't join that union. They basically do what they want to do and take your $500. After tremendous pushback in the summer of 2014, the NCAA cabinet saw with their first vote that there was so much pushback, they said, look, we're going to table this thing. There's obviously lots of people, especially 88% of the women players, 72% of the men players don't want this NOAD. It was told me, actually, that some of the coaches who liked the NOAD were pushing their players to vote for it. And Bobby Bayless, you have your right in the United States of America to say what you would like to say. But we don't have to eat that food that's put on that table if it makes us sick, because it's a teardown of our game. The ITA, regardless of what happened last summer with the cabinet, went ahead and force-fed everybody all fall. Cabinet once again met February 10th. The ITA came out the next day and force-fed us again. These guys, they're just something, you know. They should be over. The thing's over. Don't you understand? And nobody wants this. There are very few want this, because people love the scoring system of tennis. We don't care about the format. We care about the scoring system. Do you understand, ITA? We want the scoring system to stay tennis. We don't want some abbreviated bastardization, bullwinkle system of our sport. At this time, the result of the NCAA poll finally came out. They did their own poll, and they found and confirmed that there was just too much discourse between coaches and players to change it away from traditional scoring. So that's where we're at. I want to talk a little bit today about the things about NOAD scoring and go into depth. And on the surface, people think, you know, tennis, Jimmy Van Allen, the Van Allen scoring system, VAS, they used to call it. Now, I don't know whether Jimmy Van Allen was a tennis wizard or was really smart. Everybody respected him. Everybody liked him. It was novel. They tried. He said, maybe we should do away with this ad thing that they do. Everything has unintended consequences. And the more that you are involved with no ad, the players, I think, if you play tennis, if you're a senior player, you probably hate no ad scoring. You understand the importance of being able to carry leads and to be able to win 3 points in a row. It's not 2 points in a row, it's three. If you don't win the first point of the game, you have to win 3 points in a row or 4 out of 5. Yeah, think about it, folks. This is the beauty. tennis in no ad scoring, you'll have to win one at a time. But let's go. Let's talk about some of the unintended consequences of no ad scoring. Number one, a point. 1 point is worth two games. Now, how does that make sense? Well, everybody becomes aware of this at 4-2. If you win that if it's a 3-3 point or 40-40, and you win that point, you're either up 5-2 or 4-3. Now, that's two games. But every game is like that. If it's the first game of the match and it gets to deuce and you get a net cord, you have just won two games because it's the game you have now and the game they could have had, could have, should have, would have had. If you get cheated on that point, wow, has cheating become way into the picture again? And it's real simple. People do cheat on these no-ad scoring. It's unbelievable. Nobody gives people the benefit of the doubt. You know, it used to be after a long, long game, the law of invested pressure. You ever heard of that one, folks? The law of invested pressure. When you have a 10 to 12 to 14 to 15, maybe a 22-point game, the law of invested pressure has a great deal to do with the game and the outcome. And that point, winning that last point, it becomes paramount. Now, you only become a player when you learn how to win the war zones. But in no-ad scoring, 1 point is worth two games, and randomness comes into play. Number two, artificial parity is promoted with no-ad scoring. And I think each and every one of you will agree and have had situations. I've had a player I remember quite distinctly, a great player, two-time All-American, that played for me, lost to a player from UCLA 6-0, 6-0. 3 weeks later, beat him 6-3, 6-2. Now, as a coach, some people say, I like parity. Well, coach, if you like parity without skill set, you're just hoping for the flip of the coin for your player to be better. We need to have some type of a barometer that measures where players are. If you have a parity just based on the score set, not the skill set, then you never know where your player's at, neither does the player know. Folks, in no-ad scoring, between 4 to 7 points are always the mark of the game. Now, could you imagine something else in tennis like the point has to be over between 4 to 7 rallies, or you have to have the point over within 6 balls hit, how that would change our beautiful game of point construction? Well, having only between 4 to 7 points changes the whole dynamic of our game as far as game construction and the multiple momentum changes that happen. It's not a straight line, 1, 2, 3, 4. It's like I call it the mountain, momentum mountain. At the top of the mountain, the score is tied. You're either 1 ahead, 2 ahead, 3 ahead. You may be 1 behind, 2 behind, 3 behind with the scoring system. You have one of those 7 positions on that mountain at all times, and when you have one of those 7 positions, each position brings a different pressure, a different situation, different implications, and you add that with the different skill sets of a player, whether they're counterpunchers, attacking, grinders. Wow, the beautiful dynamic of our sport becomes chess, not checkers. Random momentum swings without skill sets. Wow, random momentum swings without skill sets. Number four. Have you ever thought about this, folks, that if you're ahead 30 love in a no-ad game, listen to this statement, you have 16-1 odds of having a game point. Wow, having an ad, like having an ad? No, having a game point. It's 1 over 2 times 1 over 2 times 1 over 2 times 1 over 2. If you win any of the next 4 points, you have a game point. 16-1 odds. And if you're up 30 to 15, you have 1 over 2 times 1 over 2 times 1 over 2. 8-1 odds for a game point. Now, in both of those situations occur every game. So you either have a 16-1 odds or 8-1 odds every game. And the fluctuation, the ups and the downs of that, of the constant momentum swings, really have more impact than skill set. More impact than skill set for momentum swings. Number five, elimination of conditioning and mental endurance and mental toughness. The game being so short eliminates conditioning, and it eliminates the ability for the mental toughness. Now, people will say, no, you have to be mentally tough to win that game, that three-all game or that 40-40 game. No, you got to be lucky, or you have to have a bigger serve, or you got to be able to. The thing is, it serves and nerves, especially indoors. And they say on those no-add points, you deal on or you'll be dealt upon. And what happens to our grinders and what happens to those kind of players? It eliminates conditioning and fighting. It eliminates conditioning and fighting. Number six, drama is eliminated. Drama is eliminated. Dr. Ray Brown wrote a beautiful paper. Go back to We Coach Tennis and see the writing of Dr. Ray Brown. He talks about the importance of drama and not randomness. And drama, random excitement. That's what the ITA is selling. Random excitement dwindles, though, folks, with each occurrence. Drama intensifies with each denial. That statement reminds me much of the difference between an Alfred Hitchcock movie where the drama and the suspense intensifies and you don't even see anything that is really that grotesque back with the old Alfred Hitchcock movies, but the drama and the imagination and the depth intensifies. Now you have excitement with the slasher movies and a lot of the movies. I told a friend the other day, it's a sad, sad thing that special effects have so much more to do with movies now than the dialogue or the intrigue of the dialogue. That's where we're at in some situations, I guess. But our sport, I believe, is one where drama is critically important. The drama of the long games, the Djokovic versus Wawrinka match, the long, long 22, 23-point games. But just the drama recently, most of us as Americans were watching Dennis Kudla at the Australian Open trying to serve out the match there in the fifth set against the Spanish guy, the left-handed Spaniard. I cannot think of that guy's name. All of us know Dennis Kudla, though, and we're pulling for him, and boy, the drama was just incredible. That match was worth everything, and it was built up to be, and everything it could be because of the drama. Could you imagine no ad scoring? Have you been to a professional tennis where they play no ad for the first two sets, and then that, what, the silly tiebreakers, that tiebreaker for the third set is laughable. Laughable. You show up and you see it. It's the excitement dwindles with each occurrence. Drama intensifies with each denial. I'd think this way. Now, I don't know. It's America. Maybe you don't think this way. Call in and let me know if you don't. Area code 714-583-6853. Next, any quick fix will not sustain those things in our game that we find sacred and dear to us. A quick fix will blow away as changing times come again. What happens next time? Even if this works, first of all, do you really believe, anybody out there really believe people are going to say, wow, they're playing no ad down at the match today, let's run down there and see, wow, this is so exciting. Do we really think that way? No, tennis, lovers of tennis come to tennis to see people they know play. They're interested in the young player and how their game is developing. And they know the player. They either know the player or they are just in love with tennis. This hokey pokey show of no ad scoring is going to be the demise. This will really bury us. I think lovers of tennis are just, they just think it's an awful bastardization. The most brilliant scoring system ever devised. Our scoring system should be honored, and it should be held up as one of the most beautiful thing in all of sports. It is just not 1, 2, 3, 4. It's so much deeper than that. Come on, racquetball, badminton, any of these racket games that go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You know, there's nothing there that will sustain. There's nothing there that will really help us to look more deeply into the game. It's the intrigue of the chess match that we have. Quick fixes will not sustain. Boy, a big one. Number 9, a big one here. No barometer for growth. As a teacher, as a coach, the barometer that we need for growth is there in our scoring, because in tennis you don't go forward unless you can win war zones. War zones. War zones, folks, are the name of the long, long games. The long, long game. One of them at 2-2 in the first set. 2-2 in the first set, a person wins the long war zone. Usually they go ahead and they break the back of a player. And the match does go quick after that. No ad scoring allows you to take, well, it might have been luck. It might have been getting cheated. It might have been a bad line call. It might have been the ball blowing in. These things do not add up to a player having to get good with war zones and sustain themselves after the tough loss of a war zone, nor the confidence to go forward after they win a war zone. Tennis is about war zones. I'll give you a good example. About, I'd say it's been early 2000s, had a player on the team, Ryan Young, who's now the assistant coach at University of South Carolina. We're playing a match out in California. I forget the team. He was playing a young man from, let's see, where he was an international player. And the first game lasted no less than 15 minutes. And Ryan lost the game. So Ryan's down 1-0. The second game lasted about 10 minutes. And I go, wow, Ryan's able to bounce back. Ryan won that game. Third game lasted about 8 minutes. Ryan won that game. Now, a lot of the first sets were done. But let me say that after Ryan went up 2-1, that match was over in about 20 minutes. He quickly went on to win 6-2, 6-1. Now, Ryan showed to me, and the hidden things that young man had as his skill set was his ability to concentrate, his mental toughness, his physical toughness, his ability to endure war zones. War zone endurance. War zone endurance is the skill set that most people don't look at. Look, Djokovic has this, Wawrinka has this, Nadal has this, Andy Murray has this. Do we have anybody in the United States right now coming up? We have, you know, I give a good shot to Steven Johnson, a shout out to that guy too. I think he has great war zone endurance. The guy's a player. He went 2 years undefeated in regular scoring in American tennis, and I know, and I bet you he will agree, that if he had to play no ad scoring, he would have taken 10 to 15 losses. Mitchell, can't talk about players. I don't think college players right now on, but there's a player out there playing right now that is outstanding, outstanding. One of the best I've ever seen with war zone endurance. Unbelievable skill set for war zone endurance. A lot of officials, USTA and others, will say, wow, he doesn't have the game. He doesn't have the forehands and backhand. This guy has the best war zone endurance I've ever seen, as did so many players that got passed by or didn't get their chances because people didn't see that subtlety. But, again, NOAAD does not teach war zone endurance. It's not a barometer. It's number 9, 10 here I have. NOAAD is not authentic. Where in the world did it came up? Or it came up from Jimmy Van Allen. We remember, look, we had guys. We had 13, 14 years of it. There's a reason we got rid of it. There's a reason. Who's pushing this now? People recognized back in those years that it was different. They started playing checkers all the time instead of chess. And it's awful, awful, awful that they have pushed this forward as it has. Scoring system should not be the most impacting part of the skill set. It should be our scoring system is fantastically beautiful. It makes it chess. But in tennis, if you have a small advantage with a slice backhand, for example, or a kick serve, or an ability to play out of the corners a little bit better, or a little bit better conditioning, a small advantage in skill set becomes a big difference and a huge advantage as the match goes on. As the match goes on. Just shameful that our ITA people, who these guys, I think they're from some schools that preach their dominance in the academia. What in the world? Shame on you guys for not understanding the beauty of our game and how very, very impacting our scoring system is, and that we do not respect the traditions. You guys should be respecting the traditions. If anybody should be respecting the traditions, you should. And Bobby Bayless, I'm calling out to you too. You've always been respected for honoring the game. Think of the dishonor that this brings to our game. Think of it in those terms. And I want to take my hats off to him for speaking out, and we need this debate on the table. We don't need arrogance from the ITA. We don't need them to bully. We need them to speak out and have others speak out, and we need this discussion on the table. Philosophically, it's nobody cares, what you know unless they know that you care. They don't care what you know unless they know that you care. We don't really know that the ITA cares. I'm challenging you, ITA. We don't really know that you care about us. We're the coaches. We're the smaller people out there, but we dedicated our lives as teachers first. We all know that we will be hired as teachers, but we get fired as coaches. Isn't that a shame? And we take a teacher's salary, except some of you guys out there that maybe trying to protect something more than just a teacher's salary. Maybe you guys are thinking, hey, listen, I better protect this. But we who love our sport, we who are dedicated to preserving our sport, we who want to see our young people trained and with their leadership skills through this sport, just are outraged that you could do this and try to bully and try to force-feed us into dumbing down our wonderful game. We love the game the way it is. This has been used. All of this scare tactics have been used on us. And in the end, I very much believe it is a ruse. A ruse. It's a sleight of hand. What is the real agenda? USTA, what is your real agenda? Why are you, as a lobbyist group, trying to push the ITA into doing this? Why are both of you trying to push the NCAA cabinet into doing this, into changing the depth of our beautiful sport? The USTA is a lobbyist group, folks. We're happy that they give some funding to the ITA to help student athletes. We're happy if they are supporting college tennis. We need their support. It is a great, great group of people, but bureaucracies usually don't work. Bureaucracies cripple ingenuity, creativity, freedom. Freedom. That's all we need, is freedom to go forward with our great sport. If take the chains off, great things can happen. Look, during I was in the room in 1977 when the ITA had 36 members. The dues was $10, and Coach, a very famous coach, got up and made his presentation for NOAAD scoring. At that time, four schools, UCLA, USC, Stanford, and Trinity, dominated college tennis. Everybody else, and there was a gap between those four and everybody else. Immediately, with this one-year experiment that they tried for, they tried to, for 1 year, and it went for 14 years, it made immediate parity. I say that there are those out there that would like immediate parity right now without skill set of conditioning, of mental toughness, of those things that are really needed for great players. You know, in those days, remember, folks, in those days, we used to have 3 out of 5 sets, also for the finals of the NCAA. When you had 3 out of 5 sets, I guess even with NOAAD, pretty much the best player would win. You also played 2 out of 3 sets for singles, followed by 2 out of 3 sets for doubles. A player might play 6 NOAAD sets. Wasn't too terrible. And remember, during the summer, we had the 21 and under circuit. We had the watch circuit. We had all of the satellite events. We had men's tournaments. We had tournaments where people would go and play. And, you know, players always got over 100 matches. It's not a good comparison to say that it was a really groomed the players. It was just another thing. But this NOAAD, eventually people said no. And we are saying no now. We are saying no. No to the ITA. No, we will fight you forever. We will, as long as people believe in the sanctity of our scoring system and the great heritage of our scoring system. We will not give in. You guys have been unfair. You guys have bullied. You guys have been arrogant. Sad, very, very sad. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. All that it takes for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing. Good men are standing up. Good women are standing up. Wow, have the women said their piece too. Folks, I hope that today some of the points that we have made will help you make your decision. Stand up, speak out to protect our sport. Stand up. It is our duty, not just our right, but it's our duty as we protect our sport as an American. This is United States of America. Let's not copy, folks. Let's be number one again. This is American tennis.
In America, born in a hot land, raised up a family, a King James and Uncle Sam. Semper Fi tattooed on his Semper song. Spend a little more in the store for a tag in the back of this USA. Won't buy nothing that he can't fix. With WD-40 and a Craftsman wrench, he ain't president. He's just made in America.
Chuck Creasy reminding you that you're in the process of winning or losing every day of your life, and it has very little to do with a win or a loss. And folks, we're just a Fort Sumter away from having a civil war. Stand up, speak out. God bless each and every one of you, and influence that person right in front of you and help tennis become that leadership tool that every youngster needs. God bless you, and we will talk to you again next week on Wednesday at noon. American Tennis.
Opinions stated by various contributors to the UR Tennis Network and its programming are not to be considered as endorsed by the UR Tennis Network. Participants are encouraged to use their own discernments and draw their own conclusions. All information, products, and services offered by the UR Tennis Network are for personal use only. The UR Tennis Network does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of information contained within the network. Any products or services provided for should be used solely for entertainment purposes. We emphasize the idea of keeping an open mind and not construing the products, services, or data as factual.